The Eddy B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Nachod Daf Pehe. Today's Daf is being studied. Lelu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther Ben Moshe Ben Nun Aruch Hashem Tenicham Ben Eden Amen. Begin today's Daf on Pedal Amud Bet. We're up to Rav Asher Amar. It is second wide line. We're in the middle of a sugya here, where we had a statement in the Braita that said, it sounded like you could take bikurim from stuff that grows on the roof, stuff that grows in a dilapidated building, stuff that grows in a flower pot, stuff that grows in a boat. That's against Ullah. Ullah said you cannot bring bikurim only from the choice, from the mubhar. Ullah held if you bring from the non-choice goods, it's not even kadosh. And here it's saying you can even bring from stuff that grew in a boat. That was the Gemara's question against Ullah. So the one answer was, but then when it said stuff that grows in a boat, it's talking not on bikurim, it's going back on menachot. Menachot doesn't have to be brought from the choice stuff, and that's what it was talking about. You bring from the menachot. Come out of questions, what are you talking about? Hagishtam is going back on the menachot. If you look in the pasuk that it quotes, or it talks about the bikurim that can come from anywhere in the land, it says, kol tahor bebetecha yuchal oto. It's mashma that anybody in the Kohen's family can eat it. Now if you're talking about menachot, it's not so. Menachot only Zechrei Kohanah can eat, not the whole family. So how are you going to get around that problem? So he says, I'm out of Meshar Shem, just going back on yesterday's daf for a second. Today, Kedeketive, there's two subjects in that pasuk. It says, Lecha Yehyeh, and it says, Kol Tor B'Techa Yuchaloto. One pasuk says it belongs to the Kohen, Lechat Yehyeh, and one says it's his whole family. Haketzad, Kan B'Bikurim. Bikurim is permissible for the Kohen and his whole family, and the other case is talking about Menachot, which is only permissible for the Zechrei Kehunah. So therefore, that when it said that the Braita, that fruit that grows anywhere, even in a boat. So the pasuk is talking about two things. When it says in the pasuk lecha yehyeh, it's going on menachot, and menachot belongs to the kohen, and menachot can come from any spot, even from the boats and even from the inferior places. And the other part of the pasuk that says kotaor, that's going on bikurim, and that can be eaten by any of the kohenim's family, and that can only come from the choice places. So we square off the pasuk. Comes the Gemara and says, "Rav Asher amar kule b'menachot." No, the whole pasuk is talking about menachot. V'sefa dekra atan lelachme toda. And the end of the pasuk is talking about what type of mincha? The mincha of the loaves of the Torah, which means lecha yehyeh for sure, is only talking about zechrei kehunah. And kol taor bebetecha is talking about all the kohanim, and it's always talking about over there menachot. And when it says yelecha, that's talking about the regular mincha. Regular mincha belongs to zechrei kehunah. When it says kol taor bebetecha, it's talking about the special mincha, which is the four halot that are separated from the korban todah. Remember, we learned they have korban todah. They have 40 loaves. What does the Kohen do? He takes ma'aser from each one of the 10 loaves. And those four become like a mincha. And he eats them. And the chadush is that not only he can eat them, but his family can eat them as well. So the pasuk was not talking about bikurim. And if we have no question against Ullah, comes the Gemara and says, Bifnukta. This is a machloket. Rabbi Yohanan Amar, Im hivi lo kiddesh. Shakish amar mivi kiddesh. Na'asa kakachush bakodashim. Back to the same subject. You brought inferior stuff for the bikurim. So according to Rabbi Yohanan, he comes along and says, lo kiddesh. It doesn't even become kadosh. The Shakish says, no, it becomes kadosh. It's not worse than if you bring an animal that's thin for a korban. V'chi, if a person brings a small animal for a korban, is that kadosh? It's also kadosh. Of course, the chetaylah tries to bring a fat an animal, but if you bring an animal that's kahush, it's also kadosh. So what's the difference between an animal that's kahush or fruit that are kehushim? Bottom line, it's going to be kadosh. So Gemara says, "B'shtamar ishtakish k'deka amar ta'ama." Ishtakish explained himself that the reason is because it's no different than an animal that's kahush. Ela Rabbi Yochanan, my ta'ama. But what's the reason according to Rabbi Yochanan? Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yochanan Hazai Bahalom. Rabbi Elazar said, I saw Rabbi Yochanan in a dream. Yochanan came to the rabbi in a dream. He says, oh, I know if I saw the rabbi in a dream, Milta me'alieta amina. I know today I'm going to say good divrei Torah. Because I had the rabbi in the dream. So I know today's going to be a good day. Amar kera, when the Torah talks about bikurim, it says that you should take v'lakachta mereshit. What is mereshit? From the first. So Gemara says, velo kol reshit, and not all the reshit, only the choice. So from the word mereshit, we learn to limit only choice goods. Me artzecha velo kol artzecha. Similar thing, which means when it says me artzecha, well, actually, the Rashi from me artzecha. Mereshit is teaching you not from all Eretz, only the seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Mereshit is limiting the fruits. Me'aretzecha is limiting the regions. Only from the Hashuv regions of Eretz Yisrael, La'apukeh, the mountainous regions and the valleys, that the fruits are not good. So therefore we have a derash, Mereshit and Me'aretzecha. Ah, the Rish Lakish, Hai Me'aretzecha, Me'avidla. What does Rish Lakish do with the Me'aretzecha? Because the Shaki says you can even bring the inferior stuff. Ah, it says me'artzecha. It's much you can only limit to certain areas. Mebe'elelech netanya. He needs it. Rabban Gamliel bar bi omer ne'emar kan. It says by bikurim eres. Me'artzecha. Ne'emar le'alan. When it's talking about the praises of Eretz Yisrael, it says the word eres. Ma le'alan. Shvach eres. Just like over there, when it's mentioning Eretz, Eretz Letal, Zona, Vegevenut, Ena, it's talking about the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, the seven minim, Afkan, Shvach, Eretz. So to over here, when it says Me'artzecha, it means the Shvach of Eretz Yisrael. Now, according to this, he learns Me'artzecha, but what is he going to do with Mereshit? I thought we learned that from Mereshit. So he says, "Rabban Gamliel barab sobeh shamiyut mereshim melamed rak she'ena bikurim ba'im mekom minei perot." That's all it says. You can't bring it from everything, but it doesn't tell me what you can bring it from. So you need two derashot. Mereshit velo kol haperot. Okay, fine. But which ones? So me'artzecha comes and tells me dafka the ones that are connected to Eretz. But that's what the Shtakish will do with the pasuk. Comes the Gemara and says, "Ve'idach, oh, kod Rabbi Yochanan, Eretz me'eretz." Which means the Yohanan makes a diuk, and for the Gezira Shava, it was enough to say Eretz. Which is, if you just wanted to make a Gezira Shava, it could have said Eretz, Eretz. It said Me'artzecha. What's the Mem? The fact that it says Me'artzecha is coming to tell me another Hadush, that only from certain regions of the land and not all the regions. If all the Pasuk was for the Gezira Shava, it could have just said Eretz. Artzecha. What's the Me'artzecha? Oh, must be coming to tell me ve'lo kol artzecha ve'idach eretz me'eretz lo mashmale. He doesn't make that to you, Rish Lakish. Me'eretz ve'lo kol artzecha. He doesn't make that to you. Tani Ada, we have a braita shebagag v'shebechorba v'shebeatzitz v'shebesefina mevi ve'koreh. Clear braita. Now, when it comes to bikurim, even the stuff that grew in the boat and in the dilapidated house, you bring it to the Beit HaMikdash and you read the recitation of Bikurim. V'tanya idach mevi ve'eno koreh. So I'm saying, no, you bring it, but it doesn't have the value of making the recitation. Bishtamar ishtakish. According to the Shlakish, that said what? You're allowed to bring inferior products. So I can answer the two braitot. I can say like this. Gag agag lakasha. I don't have a contradiction against gag against gag, against roof. Have the gag de ma'ala. Have the gag de bayit. I can say like this. The first braita is talking about the roof on a cave. The roof outside on a cave is like regular karka. It's outside. And therefore, you bring it and you read the regular recitation. Ah, begag de bayit. Then he's about the guy on a roof. Okay, something goes on a roof. It's not like karka. No, you can bring it, but you're not kore. Because in the reading, you say that you brought the sheet pini ha'adama. Now, you can't say adama unless it's from adama. So according to the tradition, of course you can bring it. Inferior it is. Bring it, so what? Enough coming out, if you can make a kiriyah, that's if it's called adama or not. Karka on top of the ma'ara is called the adama, karka on top of the roof is not called the adama. So the shakish is fine. Continue, churba, churba, lakashya. And have no stira of fruit that grew into a dilapidated house. Kan be churba, abuda. Kan be churba, she'ena abuda. Abuda means plowed, which means if it grows in a dilapidated house, but the ground is plowed, so it's a regular karka. What do I care? And therefore, you can bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, although it's inferior, and you can say adama, because it grows from the adama. However, and therefore it's called the ma'atika, mashaken a churba, that you didn't plow it, it just grew by itself. Sometimes you have a dilapidated house, things just grow there by itself, but not that you till the ground, so then you could bring it, but you cannot say over there, adama, and therefore we can answer churba to churba. Atzitz, la kashya. We have no question in the flower pot. Why? Kan ben akub, kam she'enu nakub. Very easy answer. If you have a hole on the bottom of the flower pot, it's called adama. If there's no hole on the flower pot, it's not called adama. Nafka minah, can you make the recitation or not? But for sure you can bring it, even though it's inferior. Sifina, sifina, la kashya. Kan bisfina shel etz. Kan bisfina shel heres. Interesting. If it's a boat of wood, it's when you grew it on the wood, it's not considered karka. However, if it's a boat made out of heres, if it's made out of pottery, and you grow it on the pottery, pottery has a din of karka, and therefore you can call it adama. That would be the nafkamina. He says over here, bisfina bederechlal en nekabim. Right, there's no holes usually in a boat. Al kena gemara miyashivet shayavdelu bin sifina shel heres to shel es. Sifina shel heres yike karka, because heres is like adama. Things grow from the ground. Things can grow from heres. V'aretz semachim yonkim min adama shetat takele min heres mafsik. Ah, that's the pshat. Which means, if let's say the boat is on the ground, or the boat is on the, I guess even in the low waters, when you're putting it on the base of the boat, it's not mafsik to the karka, which means you could be yonek from the ground through the heres. The heres like is porous; it's going to absorb it. It's considered as if you grew it in the ground. V'ena heres mafsik v'dinam kiputzkulo al karka legira. If it's sfirat shel haetz, the haetz is mafsik from the yenika. Now you have to say it was grounded in the water. You have to say it was in shallow water. You have to say the boat was in the water, but it was touching the, like in a lake or something like that. That's touching the ground. So if it's wood, no, wood's mafsik between there. And if it's guy, if it's chayres, no, it's porous. And therefore, when you plant on the chayres, it's considered you're planting on the ground. Gemara ketikus hela the Rabbi Yochanan kashya, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, we have a kashya. Kashur Rabbi Yochanan, you held what? That if it's inferior stuff, no kiddush. It's not kadosh. Wait a minute, how are you going to answer these braitot? The braitot both say you can bring it. The nafkamina is only, do you make a kiddiyah, or don't you make a kiddiyah? So how are you going to answer? Tanaehi. So what are you going to talk about? That's about, look at the name. Netanya, shebegag, shebechorba, mevi, vikore. Shebeatsis, shebechevina, eno mevi, kol ikad. Which means, it's about, look at the name. One braita says, perot in the gag, and in the churba. Mivi, you bring bekurim, vekore, and you read the parasha. We're talking about over here, obviously, a gag on top of a roof. And we're talking about over here, in the dilapidated house where you till the ground, and therefore it's still considered a field, and must be that those areas will produce good products, you have to say. That's why the Rabbi Yochanan will agree with this braita that says what? You can bring from those items. However, inferior stuff, shebe'atzitz, or shebe'sefina, eno mevi kor ikar. Not that you bring it, you just don't read. You don't bring it at all. Because stuff that grows in a boat is inferior. So Rabbi Yohanan goes with this Braita. You're right, he asked me a question from the Braita above. Rabbi Yohanan, what do you want from me? It's a look at the name. I have another Braita over there. Bifiru says, stuff that grows in a boat, you don't bring it Bichlal. Why? Because it's not a choice product. Somebody wants to look at the name. Ah, you have a rabbi. It says in this bright that stuff that grows on the roof you can't bring. Yeah, I'll tell you, stuff that grows on an outdoor roof is choice. It's choice goods. And therefore, no problem. When it came to menachot, the Mishnah said, you're supposed to bring the menachot from the choice place, and then the Mishnah, if you remember, listed two places that are considered choice. It said the one place is called Ofraim. Okay? So Amri le Yohane u'Mamre. Who was Yohane and Mamre? They were the chief Hartumim in Mitzrayim. And they told the Moshe, Teven atam machnis la'afaraim. Which means, when Moshe Rabbeinu came into Egypt, and he brought them magic, he turned a stick into a snake and all that, so the magicians were telling Moshe Rabbeinu, we're the masters of magic, you're bringing us magic into the place that, this is our trade. Similarly, the mashal they gave is, you're bringing tevin, tevin is like straw, you're bringing tevin to Afaraim. Because in the place of Afaraim, they have a lot of straw, they have a lot of wheat, they have a lot of dagan. So you see what? You see that the Mishnah was correct. When the Mishnah said, Afaraim is a very fertile place, that's the example the Hartumim gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. What, you're bringing wheat into a fertile place like Afaraim? Amalehu, Amri Inche. So Moshe Rabbeinu answered back, Lematay Yarka, Yarka Shekol. When you want to sell vegetables, where do you bring it? To the vegetable market. What he meant to say, Moshe Rabbeinu, is, listen, I'm bringing my magic over here because I have quality magic. This is not stamp magic. And if I go to a different place, they have no understanding of what magic is. They won't be able to discern it. So I have to bring it to a place that knows what the magic is. So therefore you can discern that my stuff is not magic, that my stuff is the real thing. When a person brings a diamond, you bring it to somebody who knows. You don't bring it to people who don't know. Because now you're bringing a diamond to the diamond district? Yes, because you can discern if this is a good diamond or not a good diamond. And then Moshe Rabbeinu answered back, your mashal is wrong. I'm not bringing Teben to Afraim. I'm bringing the goods to the market that understands and appreciates the goods. That they'll be able to realize this is divine. This is not coming from black magic. Anyway, that was a source of the Mishnah, that Afraim is a place that is fertile. And Mishnah. And Mivim, you're not allowed to bring the solit for the mincha. Lo mibet azevalim. That's a field that you need to fertilize. There's certain fields you need to fertilize them, otherwise they're not going to produce solit. Can it add the reason why you cannot bring from these fields the mefarshim you say, because it's a weak field. If you need to fertilize, that means the products that are growing from it are not so strong. Others say simple, shedecho ra. It's a bad smell. And therefore the flavor of the wheat that grows in a fertilized field is going to be garua. En mivim lo mibet hazevalim, velo mibet hashelachim. Bet hashelachim is a field that needs to be irrigated. Certain fields, they suffice with enough rainwater. But other fields, the rainwater is not enough, you have to irrigate them. That's a weak field. Velo mibet ha'ilan. Nor can you bring the solid from mincha from a field of ilanot. Again, that's a tree. It's a field. It's an orchard that grows trees. But in between the trees, there also grows wheat. It's a weak field because the trees are drawing all the nutrients from the ground. But if you brought from all these places, kasher b'diavad kesad u'osei. Now the Mishnah tells us, how do you get the best solit for a mincha? So it says, nara. Nara means like a nir. You plow it. Shana rishona. You don't plant anything. Just 1 year, you're just involved in leaving it and you're plowing the ground without sowing it. not to plant it right away. You leave it 1 year without ziri'ah. And you make sure nothing grows, no thorns come out of it, no grass grows, you just keep it smooth. And then what? Ubashara shini'ah, zura'ah, kodem la pesach, shivim yom. 70 days before Pesach, you start planting it, and what's going to happen? V'hi osa solet meruba, which means such a field that you left barren for 1 year, it'll produce when you start planting in it. It'll produce at an abundant rate. You plant it right before the spring, 70 days, a couple of months before the seeds go in, and then when it's finally taking root, it'll be the springtime, and therefore it'll produce a great amount of solid and a proper quality. Ketzad bodek. Now, after you cut the wheat, you have to sift the flour to make sure it is clean. So the Mishnah says, Ketzad bodek, a gizbar machnish yado letochan. The gizbar, that's the administrator in charge of the Beit HaMikdash, he's in charge of this item, he sticks his hand in the weeds. Ala ba'avak, if let's say dust comes out when he sticks his hand into the flour, after he put the flour, dust comes out, it's not clean yet. So therefore, pisula achi in a pinna, you have to re-sift it. Keep on re-sifting until it's no dust bichlal. Ve'imit liya pisula. But once it already becomes wormy, they're not even sifting anymore. Once it becomes wormy, it's asur to use the flour bichlal. Sometimes it happens, you leave it in a hot place or something like that. So it's got to be without any blemishes. When there's worms in it, it's considered a blemish, for example. It's like a blemish for a korban. It's considered a ba'alum, kikivyachol, on a solid, and therefore it cannot be used. Comes again. Huh? Tochem, the tochan. In the kema. The tochan, he puts his hand in the kema, and he sticks his hand up, he sees dust on his hands, they gotta re-sift it. If his hands come out clean, then you know you sifted it enough times and it was okay. Ketzad ose, the Mishnah we quoted. How do you plant the solid? Nara shana rishona. Ibaya lehu echi kamar. What was the Mishnah saying? Well, the way we understood it was, plow it 1 year, break. Don't plant anything. Then the following year, the second year, grow. So it says, Nara shana rishona. Does it mean to say that the first year, plow it, vishniya nara, and then the second year, plow it again, meaning a second plowing, before you're going to plant it, vizura, or dilma nara shana rishona, vishniya zura belo nara. Which means, maybe nara is going back on both years. Plow it year one and year two and then plant it. Or no, plow it year one and plant it year two. How many plowings basically do you have to do according to the Mishnah? That's the Gemara's question. Tashema, Tetanya Amar Bi Yoseh, Afhite, Karzayim, Ukhfar Achim. These are two fields over there. She says, Deshte Mekomot, El Male Simuchot Nirushalayim. If they were close to Jerusalem, happens to be these fields were far away from Yerushalayim. But the Gemara says, had they been close to Yerushalayim, hayu mevi'in mehen, you would be able to bring the solet from them. Lefi she'en mevi'im et ha'omer ela menasadot hamudramot. You can only bring the solet from fields that are towards the south. And those that were plowed specifically for that reason, shibahen hamaz orachat umehen hamaz shukahat, because they benefit based on their position from the sunrise and the sunset. The ones that are in the south, they explain, mishum shashemesh b'choref note yoter ledarom. In the winter, the sun is more in the south in the majority hours of the day, and therefore it benefits. Haynu shenasim nida bizman ra'uy. And the reason why these fields are good, because they're plowed in the right time. Amanat shetivwal et surik b'nohon ta'alei yafir. Okay, fine. But we can't use it from there. Why? Because it's far away from Yerushalayim. You're not doing stuff that's far away from Yerushalayim. Now she says, "Shnei mekumot elo yicholim liot rum leavim mehem ela shasronamu she'enam sruchim Yerushalayim." They were far away in the valleys and the mountains and so on and so forth. But they had good fruits. They had good stuff. But it's not close. Okay, does this prove anything yet to us? Not yet. Continue reading. Kesadose, here we go. How do you get the best flour for the solid? Navashana rishona. Ushniya choresh vishone. In the second year you plow two more times. Want it to grow at the time of the season, when the season changes. When the simucha lahama is next to the spring, let's say, when the sun is strong. It's going to grow so good that a kane, which is a shi'ur of a ose kane, the size of a zeret, v'shibolet zeratayim, which is, I guess, a big shi'ud. You want to know what that shi'ud is? Right, he says, kasher kane magia legova zeret. That's a half amah, let's say. Hare shibolet magia leorech zeratayim. Kafu v'orecha, which means you'll have double wheat than chef, which is a great product. Which means it's a double. If you have half a amah, you'll have double the amount of wheat in such a small amount of items. Good, which means it's going to grow rich. Continue. Kotzer u'me'amer v'dash v'zoreh u'borer v'tochen u'merakel. Okay, you reap it. That's kotzer. Me'amer, you have to gather them. And then dash is you have to thresh them. All the processes of making the wheat. And then what? Umevi etzel gizbar. Vigizbar machnish yado letucha. Imal taba abak. Omelo chazor venapeh ota shiriyah. Vishur Rabbi Natan Amru gizbar. Sach yado beshemen umachnish letucha. Ad shema'aleh kol avaka. First shot is like the Mishnah said. Sticks his hand in, comes out dusty, tells the people, go back again, re-sift it. Second shot says, no, better. He sticks oil on his hands. And he puts his hands into the wheat, and the avak will stick to his hands. That's the way the gizbar cleans the avak. Okay, so the question, is he testing it or is he cleaning it? Go to the first place, testing it. Go to the second shot, no, that's the actual way that he purifies it one more time, by putting the oil on his hands. But what do you see from here? Katani miyad, choresh v'shone. In the second year it says they plowed it again. So that answers our question that we had in the Mishnah. We wanted to know, is it one plow or is it two plows? Katani miyad, we see one choresh v'shone. Oh, v'retamech. Matnitin lo ketani shone. Which means, our Mishnah did not say that he's choser v'choresh b'shenit on the second year. Baraita katani shone. Exactly. Which means you want to answer the Mishnah from the Baraita. But the Baraita says what it says. The Mishnah didn't say what it said. Which means the Baraita b'thru says b'shone. Oh, so that's what the Mishnah means. If the Mishnah meant that, it would have said b'shone. So Gemara says, Ala kashya. That's not a question. Kan ba'abuda. Kan be'ena abuda. Exactly, which means a field that was already worked before the first year, so then you only have to plow it once. However, a new virgin field that you didn't plow it before, then you need to do it twice. So the Mishnayot are not arguing with the Braita. Our Mishnah still might plow it once, you know, because it was a field that was in use already. So they would plow it one time for the first year, let it go, let it sit for a year, and the next year just plant it right away. But a new field that's hard ground, plow it once, then plow it a second time. So there's no stira. What is the, do we accept this answer, which means what's the halakha? So Gemara says, Tashema Detanya. This is talking about again. The field in the first year, Nar Chetzia. Vizoreya Chetzia. Nar Chetzia Vizoreya Chetzia. This is talking about the first year. You plow half the field Vizoreya Chetzia, and you plant the other half. And in the second year, Nar Chetzia, you plow the field, you plow the other half Vizoreya Chetzia. Which means you do this every year. At the end of the day, it comes out that in the second year, the field does not need two. Which means you're alternating, basically. Year one, I plow this area, and I plant in the other area, which I plowed the year before. And then the following year, you alternate. You plow the other half, and then you plant in the other place. So you're always plowing one year, and planting the next. You don't need two plowings. It's only one plowing and one planting, and that is the cycle. En sarich la'asot pa'amayim nir kodem ha'arisha she'oseh letzorek ha'zeri'ah. After you made the nir in shana ahad, right away, b'shana ha'sheniya u'choresh v'zoreya. U'choresh v'zoreya. Again, kelomar. En sarich la'asot pa'amayim nir kodem ha'arisha. That's the point. You don't have to do it twice. שעושה לסורת זריעה, אלא לאחד שעשה ניר שנה אחת, בשנה שנייה הוא חורש וזוריה. So it's two plowings. It's plowing one year, but it's not like the brighter thing, because the brighter was mashma that you got to do it twice.
In the same year. Two plowings.
Correct, it's all together.
One per year.
Right, one per year. The brighter was mashma, you do it the first year, then the second year, chozer v'shoneh. You do it twice.
Each side is getting two plowings to one plow.
Right. Each side is getting, you're doing it first year plowing, and then the next year
plowing and planting.
Each year you're plowing the whole field.
And then the next year, half and plant.
No, you plow the whole field every year. It's just a matter of which half gets sown.
Oh, so it's two plowings and one half is, and it's fine. Only half is planted. Only half is planted. Let's read the brighter. The Tanya Nar Chetzia Vizoreya Chetzia. Which means the first year you plow the whole field, and then the second year you come and plow the field, but you're only planting in one side of it,
right,
in half of it, and then the following year you plow again and you plant the other side. You're coming out that before and after, it's two plowings, and then for some reason they're only planting half the field. And that was a better product. Two plowings. No, the first year you plow the field and you planted half, and in the second year you plow the whole field again and you planted the other half. So bottom line, that other half got two plowings. Because then you plowed it the year before. The year before you did it. You started, you did, yeah. Two plowings per growing.
Two to
one, exactly. That's what comes out.
Maybe they want to plow every year, so they want, maybe they want,
they want to give it a break to the other hand.
Maybe they want to.
So that's our Mishnah then. Read the Lashon of the Mishnah. Nara shana rishona ubashana sheniya zora. So you have to read, it's going on both. Nara's going on both. Nara shana rishona vishiniya vizora. So it's two plowings and one, that's exactly what the brightness is over here. Okay, but just, what's the lashon of the brayta when it says nar chetzia v'zoreya chetzia? It's really not nar chetzia. It's really choresh kol asadeh ak mashir hatsi echad benir. That's the pshat. You leave one plow, meaning you don't plant it. Nar chetzia doesn't mean you plow half of it. It means you plow the whole of it and you leave half plowed. Because you're planting the other side. Otherwise, you have to fit it into the words. That's the lashon. Plow the whole thing and leave half plowed and half planted. But again, you're plowing it twice. Okay, I'm going to be Hanan. En mivi'im et ha'omer, ela min ha'sadot ha'mudramot she'be'eres Yisrael, she'be'en hama zorachat, u'me'en hama shokat. That's the fields on the south. Can they? They're going to benefit from the sunrise and the sunset. That's what it said. In the winter months, it benefits from the most sunlight during the daylight hours. South, yeah, close to Yerushalayim, but to the south. south side. Tanya the Me'achem. Vashon Omer. Omer. Haya ba. Mibikat. Bet. Mikle. Let me replace. Kebat shalosh se'in aita. Okay, the field was the size of three se'ah. Vesadeh. Mudremet aita. Good, that's what we want. South field. Uba. Hama zorahat. Umimena hama shukahat. What did they do? Nar hasya vizureya hasya. Nar hasya vizureya hasya. Exactly like we said. They plow the field. They leave one half plowed, one half grown. Next year they do the opposite. They just alternate sides. They rotate. And that's exactly what we said. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Hilkiya Bartuvi. Haba likarna de ara'a. He had a certain field in the corner. Nar chetzia vezara chetzia. Plowed the whole field. And he left half of it unsold. He sold half of it. Second year, nar chetzia vezara chetzia. Ve'avda al hatre. You doing such a method, it produced double than a normal field produces. And he sold this product, the wheat, for solid. Which means, you see over here, when you follow the Gemara's method of plowing and planting, you don't lose. You're going to get a very good, exactly. You're going to sell it for double. You're going to get better. Look at that, we're able to sell it for solid, which is hard. Even though you say, well, I'm only using half the field. No. You're going to sacrifice on the quantity, but the quality is going to be much greater. You only planted half, but you got double the thing. So it was the same. You didn't lose it. That's the point. Better quality goods. Vimitli al pesula. What did Mishnah say? If the soil became wormy, no good. Tano Rabbanan. Solet shetliya ruba pesula vechitin shetliu ruban pesulot. Ah, so it's not the time you found one worm in there. It's got to be ruba. So whether it's the solet or even the wheat, I mean, in the earlier stage, sometimes it can become wormy from the beginning when before you even did anything. You see the wheat has worms in them. Otherwise, you can make it into solid, and then later on it becomes wormy. But it goes with the sheet, this thing of rov. Ba'ira b'dimiya, berov chita uberov se'ah. Tiku. What's the rov? Meaning rov altogether on the rov of each wheat. On the rov of the se'ah. Se'ah is the shi'ud that you need. It could be each wheat itself, the rov is not wormed. But when you make it all together, rov of the se'ah has worms in it. Or does that mean each wheat itself, the rov of each wheat is wormy? How do you measure it? It's more. Much more. The question is, how do you measure it? It was Yonavi. That's a tiku. Well, he says here, when it comes to solid, it's not a question. Rov solid is obvious. It's the se'ah. Solid is going to go on the flowers, crystals. So it says rov se'ah, rov so means the rov of the se'ah, which is the shi'ur. But a chita, is it the rov of the shi'ur, or is it the rov of each individual kernel itself? Correct. Lefishim pirudot zu mizuch, each one stands separately. Av shiruban etli'u, even though the majority of them became etli'u, yesh makom ha-she'en kulan nechshavot kepegumot. האם מדובר על כל חיטה? וכוונת הברית אומר שאין חיטה נפשת אלא כשרובה התליה, like we said. Oh no, או שכוונת הברית שאף בחיטים הולכים אחר רוב שאה. תראו שאם התליה שאה חיטים ברובה. ואפילו שפגע אתה יודע מקסתה של כל הדרך. Even though let's say hit the minority of each wheat, but all together it's רוב שאה. That's the last question to you. בעיר הבא. Hikdishan. What did you do? Ah, you didn't listen to the halakha, the guy. He took the wormy product and he made it kadosh. Harezu minha. Maushi ilke alehem mishum ba'almum. Oh, Do you get malkut for such a thing? I guess there's an isud in the Torah, you're not allowed to makdish a ba'al mum. There's a pasuk like that. What's the she'ela? Kevan de pasil ke ba'al mum dameh, and therefore you should get malkut. Or dilma en ba'al mum ela bebehema. Or maybe when we said it's a ba'al mum, we didn't really mean it's a ba'al mum. Ba'al mum is only by a behema. We just said it's pasul like a ba'al mum. It's not really a ba'al mum. Teku. That's really give us a question. When we said is it a ba'al mum, is it mamash a ba'al mum in nafkamina? You're going to get malkut if you made it kadosh or not. Teranatam. Kol etz shenimsa bo tola'at pasul legabe mizbayah. Stam. We learned this in Masechet Tanit as well. On the wood that they used to use for the ma'aracha. So any piece of wood that has in it a worm is pasul to put on the mizbayah. What's the ma'aracha? They would check the wood before they would bring it on the mizbayah. They have to make sure. Amar Shmuel Hashenu Ela Lach. Only talking about if the tree or the wood is moist. Aval Yavesh, if it's dry, Gorero V'chasher. I guess dry, it's not so bad. You can just chisel it off, and the rest of the wood is okay. Moist, it seems, it becomes more, no takana. I guess it's soft, it goes all the way in. Correct, it's all in there already. It's ruined. Dry, you can just scrape it off and you're okay. Very good. Ba'er Abba. Hikdi Shoh. Maushil ke'ala mishum ba'al mum. Keman de pasul ke ba'al mum dameh. O dilma en ba'al mum ela bebehema. Teku. Same question. The guy was magdish the wood for the Qurban. What the ta'ala tola'at in there? Asul because of ba'al mum. Ah, ba'al mum is only by behema. Teku. Diga malkut or not. Same question.
Just dry the wood out.
Dry the wood out. Come in once it's nidhay, it's nidhay. Yeah, say, so dry it out.
You have a
moisture, you find that there's a worm in there. It's nidhay. No, it's nidhay. It's nidhay already. Basul. Could be you cannot re-ash it. When you found it already, when it was dry, it was not nidhay. Nidhay is kasher, you can fix it. Mishnah. Let's just do the Mishnah. The Mishnah now is going to tell us about the oil. Okay. The oil has to be also choice oil for the Minha. Tekoa. Alpha. The Shemir. That's the Alpha, the Aleph. The first level, first choice is in Tekoa. So in Israel, we learned it in the Navi. Abba Shaul Omer, Shiniyala. The second level is Regev Be'ever Yarden. Kol Arasot Ayu Kesherot Ela Mikan Ayu Mevi'im. Okay, all the regions really are kosher to bring the oil, but they would try to bring it from these choice regions. And Mevi'im Lo Mebet HaZevalim. Good, that's a fertilized land. Ve'lo Mebet HaShelachim. That's where it needs irrigation. Ve'lo Min Mash Nizra B'nehem. Meaning it's got to be an exclusive olive field trees. But if they're growing in between other stuff, it weakens the field. Therefore, it's not good. It may be kasher, but yeah, about all this stuff is okay. And maybe in Anpikanun. Maze Anpikanun. The Gemara is going to tell us what that is. We may be pasur. And maybe in Minagargerin. Shinishru Bamayim. What was that? They were soaked in water. When you soak it in water, the water ruins the oil. Ve'lo mina kivushim. What does that mean? Pickled. Ve'lo mina shilukin. Boiled. Vimivi pasul. All these things over there ruin the oil. If you pickled it in salt and vinegar and stuff like that, it ruins the product. Okay, let's just go to one piece in the Gemara. Ve'yishlach Yoav tekoa. Vayikach misham isha hakama. That was the story of Amnon and Tamar. Amnon raped his sister, Tamar. Avshalom, as a result, killed Amnon. Avshalom was sent into exile. Yoav wanted to make peace. So he sent, Yoav sent to a place called Tekoa. Over there there was Isha Chachama, and she was going to come to David and present a mashal to David to try to get him to forgive Amnon. She was going to come talk to David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. She was going to come and say that one of her children killed one of another child, and what should she do, and so on. Avshalom, Avshalom. Avshalom killed Amnon. But Yoav wanted to make peace. So he went to Tekoa to get the Sisha Hakama to go talk. The Pasuk says, Vayishlach Yoav Tekoa. Vayikach Misha Misha Hakama. Maishena Tekoa. Why did he go to Tekoa? What's so special? Amar Yohanan Mitok Shrigidi Mishem Ben Zayed. Because they eat olive oil. There's good olive oil over there. When there's olive oil, there's chokmah. It opens the brains. It's brain food. Tarav banan. Vetovel b'shemen raglo. Ze chelko shel asher. Asher amar. This is it says tovel b'shemen raglo. Shemoshech shemen kemayan. They have over there like a wellspring. That was his berakah, the oil. Amru, pa'am achat nisrichu lahem anshe lutkiya b'shemen. The people of Lutkiya needed oil. Minu lahem pulmostos echad. They hired a manager. Amru lo lech mabe lanu shemen b'me'a ribbo. Go buy us 100 ribbo. It's an amount of money. Halak lirushalayim. Amru lo lech litzor. Lech litzor. Amru lo lech ligush halab. Gush halab. Bashevet asher. Halak ligush halab. Amru lo lech etzel penoni lasadeh halab. Go to this guy's field. Umsa shaya ozek ta'ad zetav. He was plowing, making like, you know, the furrows underneath the tree. Amar lo, yesh lak shemen b'me'ar ribbo, she'ani tzarich. Yeah, it's not a lot of oil. 100 ribbo maneh. 100,000 maneh of oil you have. Amar lo, emtein li ad shesiyem melechti. Wait till I finish doing my work. Emtein ad shesiyem melechto. Le'achad shesiyem melechto, hifshil kelav la'chorav. Put his clothes in his back. Vayam mesakel u'ba baderech. And he's walking back to the house. As he's walking home, he's moving the rocks off the road. Misakel, he's taking the rocks off the derech. Amar lo, hey, yesh lecha shemen b'me'ar ribbo. He forgot the sail. You have the oil for me? Kemdume ani shesechot sihaku bi hayyudim. Which means, must be to make fun of me. The Jews sent them to me. It was a goy. The Jews sent them to me to make fun of me, to ask me for such a quantity of oil. Kevan shegea le'ayro. They got the urn of water, hot water, but a hot water, and a glam. They got a golden, like a bin, a pail of oil, and he dipped in it his feet, his hands and feet. לקיים מה שנאמר, ותובל בשמן רגלו. They see this guy who lived in Asher's region. He saw the Beracha in Asher's region. There was so much oil, they could soak their feet in there. The Gemara tells the end of the story. לאחר שאכלו ושתו, and how they ate, they drank. נדד לו שמן במאה ריבו. They measured him that tremendous amount of oil. אמר לו, כלום אתה צריך ליותר? היום ימו, ידמו. אמר לו, הן. אלא שאין לי דמים. I need more, I don't have any more money. אמר לו, אם אתה רוצה, לקח, קח. Take it. ואני אלך, מה בתו דמה? I'll follow you, and I'll get the money. מדד לו שמן בשמונה עשר ריבו. It's an extra 180,000 מנה מור. אמרו, לא הניח אותו האיש, לא סוס, ולא פרד, ולא גמל, ולא חמור בריס ישראל, שלא שכרו. They needed all the transportation every hamor, every camel, every horse in Israel in order to transport all the barrels of oil to the destination. Kivan shegia le'ayro, yatzu anshei ayro le'kaleso. Oh, they want to praise him. Goodbye. Amar lehem, lo le'kalesuni, ela nazeh sheba'im mi. Praise this guy that came with me. Shemadad li shemen b'me'arib bo. He gave me what I asked for, what I paid him for. V'hare noshe bi b'shmoneh asred bo. And he gave me credit, not 180,000. Lekayem ha'shne'emar, yesh mit'asher ve'en kol mit'roshesh ve'on rav. Very important lesson. Some people, they show as if they're very rich, but they really have nothing. And there's other people that show that they have nothing, and really, they are very rich. Now, he was a Yehudi. I guess he was a Yehudi. He was a Yehudi. He was living in Asher's region. So I guess when he said, Kimdume anish soksi akube Yehudin. Meaning, he was also Jewish. He was just saying how the Jews are—they're coming to me as if I have so much. He was low-keying himself. He wouldn't make himself like he had so much.
Story.
Huh?
Not even
that in
the joke.
Correct. So he says here, first of all, he worked himself. He was doing the—he didn't hire workers. Even though we had so much oil, when he came home, he saw he had a golden bin of oil over there. The Shaliah was the reverse guy. He's the poor guy that acts like he's rich. Which means, when he came home, I told him, wow, look how much oil you bought us. He looked like a Hashuv guy. He said, I'm not the Hashuv, I owe him 180,000 coins. I'm the poor guy over here. So yes, but Hashuv looks like he's a Hashuv guy because he's coming with all the product. The same thing. The guy could be living in a big house. Meanwhile, he has a $2 million mortgage. So he shows you the Hashuv guy. But Mitrosh is really, he's not. And then you have another guy who's low key, doesn't show too much over there. You see him simple, the way he dresses, the way he acts. So that's the guy that has a lot. I once heard from Yehuda Ades that they once asked him, when you go to collect money, when the rich people come to Israel, so you have to size them up to know who's worthy to go to ask for a donation. And who's that? How do you know where to collect from? How do you know which guy is the rich guy and which guy is not the rich guy? It's very simple. The guy that's wearing a fancy suit with a fancy tie with the shiny shoes and all the jewelry and stuff like that. Yeah, leave him alone. That's not the guy. He said, but the guy that's standing on the side wearing a casquette and he's sitting there with the doctor's shoes. And he has the regular pants and not a t-shirt, but a regular simple guy that's sitting in the court. That's the guy. He says, why, Rabbi, why is that the guy? He said, well, this guy doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. He knows he has money. He knows he's wealthy. He doesn't have to show. On the contrary, he doesn't want people to bother him. The other guy wants to be seen. He wants to be noticed. He wants to be, he must not have anything to be noticed. Therefore, he needs recognition. You see, again, many times what you see is not really what the reality is.